Glory to God. Good evening. How has your day been? Awesome, awesome. Matthew chapter 16. And we'll be looking at our authority in the name. Our authority in the name. And one of the things we've established is that it's as we go through scriptures in detail, not glossing over details, but going through in detail, that we're able to put certain facts together. Because the more the facts are clear in our consciousness, the more effective we'll become in using what belongs to us. If you ask the average believer, the average Christian, respecting the name of Jesus, the average believer believes that it's a nomenclature, it's something you pronounce. And so people spend time trying to work on their pronunciation, that there must be something about the way this person pronounces that makes it work. And then you see people who, you may have a question mark about their theological phrase, and yet you see some very unusual results in their ministry and their lives using the same name that you have been using, and you're not getting the same results. And in Crusades in the 80s, Pastor W.F. Kumuyi has a particular way of praying that may not be very acceptable to the Christocentric people. Like, what is this? We don't beg God. But the man prays and says, when it's time for healing, he said, my Father, I beg you, heal them. It's a personal relationship. It's not in the phrases. It's not in the phrases. It's the personal relationship and work, which is, a man must not sacrifice his personal work with God at the expense of evil ministry. Because the personal work is the backbone of a successful ministry. Because there are things you will encounter in ministry that only a personal work with God will assure your heart and bail you out. That means you must know God's character and personality for yourself. I can pray for you. I can pray with you. I can intervene in situations you're in. But nothing beats your personal knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So your walk with him is priceless. Your walk with him is priceless. It's so important. Our personal walk with him is what? Priceless. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, the Bible says, but God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son. You know, sometimes God's faithfulness, by our own estimation, is different from the way God views faithfulness. He says, how can you measure God's faithfulness today? There's faithfulness before the cross. There's faithfulness after the cross. So, after the cross, which is resurrection, how do you measure God's faithfulness? He said, God's faithfulness is seen in that he called you into the fellowship of his Son. The word fellowship means a supply. So, in other words, to be called in fellowship with Son means the Son supplied something. That something is the Spirit that he gave you as your identity, to prove that you are truly, in every sense of the word, a son of God. He said God's faithfulness is seen in the fellowship he called us into. And that fellowship is the supply that the Son gave to you for you to also become a son of God. So this man of God will pray, my Father, I beg you, heal them. You are busy arguing with the phrase that we don't beg God. You don't need to beg God. You that you are not begging. Oh, may God help this generation. You that you are not begging, where are the fruits? Generation. This is a man, before he prays the prayer, he will start by saying, he used to do things in order. You really wonder. Is it that you and God, you sit in the same chair? Because like, we're going to pray now for the blind. Then we'll pray for the lame. He has systematic. You're like, are you the one healing or God the one healing? Because you are the one telling us how you do in order. In the crusade, he said, we are going to play football now. Everyone who is crippled or lame, come out. 10 people came out. They were on the podium. And he said, when I point to you, stand up. You didn't come out, wave your hands. When I just point to you, just stand up. You stand up. He always talks, sing song. You stand up. You stand up. Everybody was witness. 10 of them stood up that day. And that's power with God. That is it the same Jesus? Yes. But when the man says, my Jesus, you know what is behind that statement. You know, Paul got to a point and said that according to my gospel. You know, he was now one. He was connected with what he was preaching. He said, according to my God, it's my gospel. So there is a personal walk with God where you are able to make a demand based on your personal walk, which is, I know him whom I believed. And that is the legacy or the gift you can give to people. A woman was brought to my office some years ago, and she had been trusting God for fruit of the womb. She was now pregnant, but she was having all kinds of attacks. She was heavily pregnant, having all kinds of attacks. And so she was really afraid that what she's been trusting God for all this while, there's no guarantee that she'll be able to keep it. Because dreams, attacks, physical, all kinds of things. So I wanted to lay hands on her. I just stopped because I heard something by the Spirit of God. I said, you're not a Christian. He said, yes. He said, I'm a Muslim. The person that brought her did not tell me. The person that brought her was a Christian. I said, okay. I said, what I want to give you does not belong to you, but it's a gift. I prayed a bit differently, but I used the name. I used the name to command the attacks to stop, the pain to lift, and she was preserved to delivery without any further issues. For me to say, what I want to give you does not belong to you, I must know what I'm talking about, isn't it? I must know. So it's not it and me. It's not that. Let us just try. God is in a good mood. Something will happen today. And that's why a lot of times when people call me to pray, either for health issues, anybody that knows me a little bit, we know that sometimes I don't rush to pray. I stop. I pause. You think I don't know how to speak English. I'll be speaking one by one. Because you can pray from here. You can pray from here. The one from here is the one that works. Don't let anybody push you into praying. Because every single time you use the name flippantly and there's no result, you are more discouraged. You are more discouraged. Something is happening to your boldness each time you do that. So it's better for you to be ready to use than to just use opening to walk. Let your heart be ready before you utter the name. Because when you're not uttering the name, there's a heart and mouth connection of something that God gives to all of us in Christ that you are now using deliberately, expecting to see results. In ministry, I studied certain CAC prophets. I read a lot after Apostle Ababala. I read certain books. There's one man called Moses. I've forgotten his first son now. Moses, Holy Man. No. That's a prophet. I'm talking about the man that wrote that book. Moses H. something. That wrote certain books. He wrote Mantle of a Prophet, Mantle of an Apostle. He wrote books about Ababala. He wrote about Moses Ramadi. He wrote about this man that was a close colleague of Ababala also. No, not with Banjo. This one was the one sent to Ibadan that died prematurely. It was a prophet. So, I read those books. You wonder, what am I doing with those books? I'm in ministry. I read those books. And the CAC prophets, they were raised on that dispensation. When you go to them with any challenge, you either tell them or you don't tell them. Even when you don't tell them, they will say, let's pray. What's the first thing they say? In the name of Jesus. And I noticed something that was happening, that every single time they did, sir, it was a key to unlock the flow of the Spirit. That's how they were using it. To them, it was not just nomenclature. It was not just a statement. Because the nature, in the name of Nyoru called Jesus, once they say it, they start seeing. And start telling you, my sister. They just start, because they have exercised themselves so much. It's like a door just opened. So, 1 minute, they are in the senses. The next second, they are in the Spirit. So, you are good in theology, but you have not exercised yourself spiritually in those things, which is, the name is a key. The name is a key. And it's about time that we start handling it, what? That way. That is, you must not see any other thing to resort to after the name has been used. That is, if you know what is backing the name. Because 2023, we're going to get bolder. We're going to run and walk rub short over walls of darkness. So when it's time and we're going out, because some of us, in our going out, I promise you, you meet demons and the activities. And you are a master of demons. You are a master of demons. So you either yield to the senses or yield to the authority of God's word. Ephesians 1 verse 19, the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe. according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from where? The dead, and set him where? At his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and what? And might and dominion and every name that is named, not only where? In this world, but also in that which is to come. And give him to be the head over all things to the church. The church is the fullness of him that fills all in all. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you, as he quickened with everything he wrote previously. Everything you read, we quoted just now, you, as he quickened with those things. It made you alive with those things. So when you open your eyes in the spirit, you were seated far above. You were exalted. You were born in exceeding greatness of his power. You know, when Paul is praying that the eyes of your understanding be what? Enlightened. So what these people have, the same inheritance, the same birthright, the same access, not the same effectiveness. Not the same effectiveness. So where we differ is what? Not even faith. It's in what? Effectiveness. Paul says that the communication of your faith may become effectual. As you want? Acknowledge. So there's certain things they know more by their personal work and practice that is causing, so to speak, them to see more results using the same name that you and I have. Hallelujah. Matthew 16, verse 13. That's where we were yesterday. We're going to move fast. Okay, see. Jesus came to go to Caesarea. He asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he asked them, who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of what? The living God. That's that you are the promised Messiah. The God who is alive forevermore. You are the Son of the God who is alive forevermore. And we say that the name of Jesus in the four Gospels carried a measure of authority. Because a name means reputation. It means standing. And then we traced that back yesterday to Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 7:14 that says, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall give birth and shall conceive. You shall call his name what? Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us as one of us. So in the fourth gospel we see, number one, his authority as God in the flesh. John chapter 1 verse 14. And the word became flesh. Which word became flesh? In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. So the word that was in the beginning was that light will shine in darkness, a light that darkness cannot comprehend. That was already there in the beginning, Genesis. So God put on flesh to begin the journey in the four gospels. So the journey began in the four gospels. It didn't end in the four gospels. In completing that journey, a new chapter opened, which we now call the New Testament, in his blood. Say amen. Good. So the authority that the name carried in the four gospels is the authority given to him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. The grace is the truth. But in his resurrection, which is why sometimes people find it a bit confusing, you said he's the Son of God. God attested to who he was. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well what? Pleased. When he came out of the water and baptism. If he's your beloved Son, why are you then saying, again, this day have I begotten thee? What happened to the first time? Was that also begotten? Or second time? So it shows you the different stages that in incarnation, he has an office limited in scope and authority, which was evident also in the way he sent them to preach the gospel, because he sent them twice. He sent them in the four gospels, he sent them after his resurrection. And we must learn to understand the difference. Because what he said to them in the four gospels, when he said, go and preach, is different from what he said to them when he rose from them when he said, go and preach. The authority is not the same. And that lets us know the kind of office he had and the one he now has. So it's in our studying of those details that begin to understand, okay, when I stand before demons, it's not a guess game. I'm not wishing they will obey. They have to obey. They have to obey. Because it is all authority. Demons don't stand against God, they stand against men. So you need to understand, when Jesus said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth, or I have brought the heaven and earth reality into expression. So when the enemy comes now against you, he will not just meet earth. He will meet heaven in earth. Hallelujah. Are you following now? Which is the name? That is the name of Jesus. Heaven on earth. Or heaven in the earth. That's the name of Jesus. So when he comes down, because physically on the earth, because it was heaven on earth in a human body, when he came around to where they were operating, without seeing anything, they reacted. They could tell, heaven is present. So before he left, before he accomplished the plan for return, he first sent disciples, Luke chapter 9, Matthew chapter 10, he sent disciples ahead. He gave them power and authority over and against unclean spirits. As he went preaching, and when you're preaching, say the kingdom of God is at hand. He told them, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely what? Give. That's the authority of the name in the four gospels. So when Jesus is asking them, who do men say that I am? In that Matthew chapter 6, is because in your encounters with men, what was their observation about who I am? Which is men that will speak from the senses. Because what was he doing? Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts 10, 38. By now you should know that scripture with your eyes closed. With your eyes closed. If you're a member of the Noble House, even your eyes are closed, you should be able to quote it. It should be written at the end. Our God anointed Jesus of... Notice the humanity was anointed. Jesus of Nazareth. Not Jesus Christ. How can you notice that? Because when you say our God anointed Jesus Christ, something's wrong. Because it is what Christ is the sign that is anointed. So our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of devil, for God was with him. So in what measure was God with him? In doing good, which is healing all that were oppressed. Incarnation. The authority of his name, incarnation, God was doing good by healing all. Yet healing was not God's goal. Saving lives was God's goal. So, Jesus, what's your name? What should they call you? Christ, the Son of the living God. The promised Messiah. How will he prove it in his earthly work? He will heal the sick. He will raise the dead. He will cast out devils. That's the only thing he can do within that authority, within that scope. Where is he going to? There's a journey. Where is he going to? So when he was asking a question, what am I saying? You are a question of living God. Go back to that Matthew. See what Jesus told Peter. Matthew 16, verse 17. Blessed are someone by Jonah, for flesh and blood. This didn't come from observation. This comes from the senses. It says, flesh and blood are real, but my what? Father, which is in, where is heaven again? The unseen. God is present with Jesus, but you can't see the Father. He's in your sin. So he says, you got information from the unseen realm. The scriptures are opening up to you. Now know exactly who I am. You know my identity. So that will influence the way you relate with me. Look at next one. I say also unto thee, if I am Christ, the Son of the living God, then you know I am the fulfillment of the promises of God. I am that rock. The revelation of Christ is that rock. The rock always implies something which has been, which is immovable, which is unchangeable. That's what rock. Upon this rock, which is the same rock that Moses preached about in the Old Testament, I will what? Build my church, which is to found something, to establish something, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And then, you know, in primary school, we now turned into the church is marching on. The church is marching on. The gates of hell shall not prevail. The church is... There's a half-truth there. We are marching on truly. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. But when that scripture was quoted, it's not talking about an ongoing work. It's talking about something that was done at the resurrection. I will build means I will found my church. And the word church means my called out ones. So in my resurrection, I will call out men from darkness into this light. What's that light? It's resurrection. I will call out men from darkness. That is my name. I'm the one that calls out. I'm the one that calls out. Hallelujah. I'm the one that calls out. That's my name. I'm the one that calls out. So my name now is not the name I will bear then, because the name I will bear then is I'm the one that will found the church. And the way I would do it in resurrection, it will be irreversible. The gates of hell will not stop it from coming to expression. So Isaiah's prophecy was true. Chapter 7, verse 14. Chapter 9, verse 7. The first one was the incarnation. The second was what? Resurrection. Isaiah 9, look at verse 6. Glory to God. I want you to get so rooted and so grounded that when you are using the name, it will be conscious for anything you want to do. Whether in prayer, whether you are ministering to the sick, whatever, whether you are standing against demonic forces, when you are using this, you do it with a heart that is conscious of what is backing you up. See, it says, unto us the child is born, unto us the son is given, and. So, notice, not that the government is, the government shall be. So he moved from birth to resurrection. Can you see that? The government shall be upon where? His shoulder. Shoulder will be now. Notice when he came, there was no government upon him. So upon simply means something that will be attained when he emerges. Hallelujah. Can you see that? His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. A better word for father there is founder. That means what he will establish will be forever. What he will establish will be something that will keep producing men. Redeeming men from darkness, releasing men to the glorious liberty of the sons of God. What he will establish for them. So he's the everlasting founder. He's going to found or establish something. And what he will establish will be perpetual. It will not change. Glory to God. That's what he's saying. So, notice again, go with me to back to that Matthew chapter 16. Okay? Verse 19. And I will give unto you what? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. So again, notice, where is it coming from? I will build my church. Now, the building, which is the founding, is the same thing as the giving of the keys. You are born that way. It's not that after you are born, after you have founded the church, you will now give. No. The process of establishing the church is a process of giving access. What key there is access? I will give you access to the resources of authority. This authority of heaven and earth, I will give you access to the resources of this authority. And this is it in summary. Whatever you allow on earth is allowed where? In heaven. So whenever you think of heaven now, don't think about a geographical location as far away. It means I will bring heaven to where you are. Your description will now be heaven on earth. And whatever, since you are now in the spirit and of the spirit, since you are seated together with Christ Jesus, whatever you use your words to allow is allowed. Whatever you want forbid is what? Forbidden. That's what it's saying. It says, I will give you the keys, which is what? Access to the resources of this authority. That's what it means. That whatever you allow. So that means in the spirit, you know, while we teach that the power of God can be abused, it's true, it can be abused. I remember some years back, the particular ministry that was literally just trying to make ends meet. Somebody came in and stole their keyboard and their amp. Oh my goodness. A pastor was planning to curse the person. He kept having a check. He knew it was the spirit that was telling him, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. So he prayed a prayer. He said, I will not, on one condition, let him return it in 7 days. Now, not did. After 7 days, I don't see him. Now, why do you think he will say that? Why would God say, don't do it? Because it will happen. It will happen. It will happen. He said, if you don't want me to do it, let him return it in 7 days. The person brought it back in 7 days. Otherwise, I will use the other side. That's what they were saying. Has somebody won't recognize his authority? Again, he knows that there's authority. You know, that we believe that God is a good God and everything doesn't mean that we don't know that there's something you should not play with. Though you can be merciful about it. There are times when that is necessary, that's needed. I will give you access. So, because heaven is now on earth, your season of heaven on the earth, you can wield that power. Because what is back in that name, no demonic force can resist it. None. The demon is yet to exist. That can resist what is at the back of the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And look at prayer Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. Look at John chapter 17. When it begins to tell us now, what is in that name? What is in that name? John chapter 17, we call it the prayer of equals. John chapter 17. Now, John is the only one who gives us a clue of the kind of prayer Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. So, Matthew tells us that Jesus just prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass over me. And people have thought that what it was meaning, I don't want to die. Oh. No, Jesus knew why he came. When he said, let the cup pass over me, he was saying, let this happen quickly. No. If he didn't want it, he had the opportunity in the garden to escape. He had the opportunity. He knew. If he didn't want it, he won't spend time teaching disciples. Matthew that we just read, chapter 16, if you go all the way down to verse 21, 22, you see he was telling them that then Jesus began to show from the scriptures that he would be taken, he would be killed, and on the third day he would rise again. So he knew. It wasn't news to him. So when he was praying that prayer, let this cup pass over, he wasn't saying that, can we do this another way? No. He was trying to say that, let this pass, let this happen quickly. See what it says there. See? So look at verse, chapter 17, verse 1. Glory, glory, glory. This was spoke Jesus as he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy son, that thy son may also what? Glorify thee. Look at the words. As thou hast given power over our flesh, that he should what? Give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. What is he talking about? In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. What was the beginning? In the beginning, God created heaven to be where? In the earth. How will God fulfill it? Well, since the earth was half form and void, and darkness is there, what will God do? He will say, let there be light, and there will be light. What's that light? The resurrection of Jesus. So notice the prayer Jesus is praying now. Do you understand so far? See what he says again. To as many as you have given him. So when will Jesus give eternal life? At resurrection. He couldn't give it in the four gospels. He couldn't give it in his incarnation. He was the only begotten. As the only begotten, where he came from, we can come from. But as the first begotten, where he came from, all of us can come from. Hallelujah. You understand the difference? So as the only begotten, it's monogenua, uniquely born. But in the resurrection, it's first begotten among many brethren. We can be born. All of us can be born that way. So see what it says. Next, verse 3. And this is what? Life eternal. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. See what he's saying. What is life eternal? Eternal life. He says not eternal life. Go back to the verse 3. See what it says. That they might know thee. So in other words, in the resurrection of Jesus, wherein we have received what eternal life is, where God's true nature and character is fully displayed. If you want to know God's bias, we look at the resurrection. What is God really like? We look at the resurrection. So that they might know the only true God simply means the way God really and truly is can be seen in the resurrection. In other words, God's champions life and not death. Hallelujah. See, next thing says, verse 4. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with what? Thine own self. With the glory I had with thee before the world was. Again, people have thought Jesus had a throne. He was sitting on the throne. He was playing Ludo, relaxing, until it's time to come to the earth. No. Understand Bible language. Glorify thou me, first of all, speaks about something you cannot assign to a third party to do. It's something you'll have to accomplish by yourself. What does it mean to glorify me? Raise me from the dead. It's something only God can do. So glorify me with thy own self. So when you're reading Romans, look at Romans chapter 6. I'm not going to rush this one. We're looking at the name. Glory to God. Romans 6 verse 4. We're going to come back here. Romans 7. Therefore, are we what? Buried with him by baptism into what? Death. That like us what? Christ was raised up from the dead by what? The glory of the Father. Can you see that? How was Christ raised up? The glory of the Father. So go back to John 17:5. See what it says. Look at the word. And now, Father, glorify thou me with what? Thine own self. With the glory I had with thee before the activities of men began. I'm trying to put that in my English now. So before the world was. So what does it mean before the world was? Before the activity of men. What was God's plan? To glorify his son. What does it mean to glorify the Son? Let there be light. Hallelujah. So he's not saying, I had one glory with you like that. I just came, demoted myself. Now that I'm about to come back now, give him that glory back. No. The glory I had with thee was the promises you made in what you would do. That is the glory. To glorify thou me with your own self means you will raise me from the dead. And when you do that, what you mean is it will be the glory which I had with thee, which is your original plan. Before the world, look at Titus chapter 1. Glory to God. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after what? Godliness. Verse 2. in hope of eternal life. What is hope? In expectation of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Can you see the glory? Eternal life. It was what God promised before the world began. And that's why, let me say it again. We say this, in eternal life, do we have forgiveness of sins? Do we have forgiveness of sins? Now, notice, the God that cannot lie promised. What is a promise? Assurance of good. Something only you that said can do. Now, so God promised. When it says before the world began, means before the activities of men took place. So let me say it again. Eternal life, forgiveness of sins, is not a reaction. Let me say it again. Eternal life, forgiveness of sins, is not a reaction. Listen carefully. It is because we think in humanistic terms. That's when you think of, every time I sin, I will ask God to forgive me. He will now forgive me. You are still seeing forgiveness of sins as a reaction to something you're doing. No, in hope of eternal life, which God promised before you ever saw any activity on the earth. That was the plan. So eternal life is God's proactivity before there was any activity on God's part. In other words, God did not just come scurrying looking for an emergency solution after Adam messed up. His plan was still on course. Do you understand so far? If you understand that, you know what righteousness means. That's why righteousness is not personal morality. Righteousness is believing God's provision. Don't forget it. So if God promised, and say the God cannot lie, the word cannot lie simply means, that phrase means that it is impossible for him to fail because he and his word are the same. When he speaks, it's the fulfillment of what he says. So he's not as going to employ other means to fulfill it. He himself. It's like when you speak, what you are uttering is a substance of yourself. So for you to fail, your substance fails. I don't even get it. The God that cannot lie simply means that the one that can fail, what he says is exactly who he is. So if eternal life and forgiveness of sins are synonymous, that means forgiveness of sins is not a reaction. It's a proaction. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So where are we now? Let's go back to John chapter 17. Let's jump to verse 21 because of our time. 21. That they all may be one, as thou Father art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may be the last same. Verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have one, given them, that they may be one. Look at the way Jesus is praying, as though it's already done. Which glory will Jesus receive? Glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before. Who's that glory? You will raise me from the dead. And that glory, when I give them, what will happen? They may be one, as we are one. Hallelujah. Can you see that? That's why what we call the Lord's Prayer now makes sense. Our Father which art in heaven. He has always been our Father in the unseen. Why is he in the unseen? Because that which it would take for that to be a reality is yet to be fulfilled. But that plan has been in motion right from Genesis. Our Father, we are in heaven. Hallowed be your name. What's your name? Reputation. What's your reputation? You are the one who saves. How will he save? Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom will come. How will it come? The government shall be upon his shoulders. When will it be upon his shoulders? In resurrection. Am I speaking too fast? Are you connecting the dots? Also, so thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You give us this day. I want, what's daily bread? Which bakery? What's daily bread? A better word for daily is always. Always bread. And when the Bible talks about bread, you know it cannot be bread. So that means, the daily bread means what is necessary for you to be alive. Because daily bread, what's that thing? Forgiveness of sins or eternal life. He give us this day. Which day? The day your will is done, which is when your kingdom will come. In that day, you give us what? Daily bread. What does that mean? You forgive us our trespasses, that we now know how to forgive those who what? But you deliver us from evil. Hallelujah. Can you see how the prayers are connected? That's the name of Jesus. That's the name of Jesus. That's the name of Jesus. So the resurrection, which didn't take place until after he rose from the dead, is a name by which he used to send them out on assignment. As I were reading John's Gospel, look at John's Gospel, chapter 20, 31. John's Gospel, remember we looked at the beginning, we looked at the harmony of the Gospels. We looked at Mark 16, isn't it? Matthew 28, we looked at Which other one? Luke 24 and John 20:21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has what? Sent me, even so send I. What does he mean by that? Question to ask is, how did the Father send him? Now, when Jesus speaking to them, when he rose from the dead, isn't it? So, is he talking about, I was sent into the womb of Mary, or I was raised from the dead? How he was born? So, how is he sending us? As he came and became a man, or as he rose from the dead? As my Father has sent me. So, this is a different sending. That when he came into Mary's womb, as the Father has sent me, or he raised from the dead, so send I you, or I send you in the light of my what? Resurrection. Hallelujah. Can you see that now? So the authority with which he sent us now is his name. What is his name? The one that God raised from the dead. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So important as we go through the scriptures. That's why when you're reading Matthew, look at Matthew 28. Go back to Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's what power, is given unto me where? In heaven, that is on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Dubious text, because that's the only place where you'll find it. Why are we sure that it was likely included? It wasn't the original render, because no other text supports that. Notice, it says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you all. I'm sending you in my name. What's his name? The one that God raised from the dead. But here in Matthew also, notice, lo, I am with you. Did he say, no, we are with you? All of our names. That's the first thing. Mark chapter 16. If it's true that it's the name of the Father, of the Son, how many of us have been baptized in water? Okay. How many of us have received change of name? They ask you what name? What's your name? What's your baptismal name? You don't have baptismal name? Must have one. You should have. Okay, so they dip you 3 times. And you ask the question like, what if me I only want one dipping? One is okay. Say, no, no, no. If the name of the Father, say, that's it's okay. Say, the Son will be angry. And the Holy Ghost too will not come. What's going on here? How can you just do one dipping? It must be 3 times. Father and Son and. But nowhere, not even in the book of Acts, the early church practiced such. No such practice. The teaching, Mark 16:15. What does it say? In Mark 16:15, Jesus came and said to them, Mark 16:15, see what it says. And every scripture that we're going to find, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. It is in his name. It is in our name. Because he is the embodiment of the Father and the Spirit. Same Boosie page today that let us pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. No, it's not scriptural. Because it's not necessary. His name is the one who rose from the dead. Did the Father rise from the dead? Because the Father didn't even die. No. Did the Holy Ghost die? No. It takes being a man to die. The Spirit to become a man. The Father to become a man. It's the Son that became a man. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to say, you see the spiritual reality behind what it means to pray in his name. Because he's the one that became a man. You need to become a man to die. And because you are a man, that's why you can be raised from the dead. That's the meaning of Psalm 110. That's the meaning of Psalm 110. Hallelujah. Psalm 110, we'll come back here. Psalm 110, verse 1. Glory to God. Say, I have authority over demons, and trample over serpents, and scorpions, and upon the power of the enemy. Nothing hurts me. Nothing hurts me. I have absolute authority over sickness and disease. I'm bold. I'm confident in prayer. I get answers to my prayer. I'm a savior among men. In the name of Jesus, I'm a minister of reconciliation. When I speak, the Father draws men to him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Even if you say that before you go to preach, your words will take on a whole new meaning. Inspiration will take hold of your tongue. And the right words will come out that will affect men. It's because you are trying to preach in your strength. No. No, 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 no. Our speech and our preaching. It's not with enticements of man's wisdom. But what? And it's not that long. It's not that long. If the influence of the Spirit is there, it will draw men. It will draw men through your word because he lives in you. He is the one standing before people to speak through your mouth. You know what we have to do? Me? I've not even prayed this morning. And I watched the world. What do I have to preach? What will I even say? That's the problem. We are thinking to you. He sent you as a minister of what? reconciliation. At the opening of your lips, the Father will speak. If you stay conscious, He will speak. I've discovered that outside there is the easiest place to see healing miracles. If you see some in the church, you don't know what you will see outside until you go. Because the people outside are easier to heal than church folks. You know this is why? Church folks, they are full of knowledge. People over there, they need a sign that God is speaking through you. And when you step out boldly, you'll be amazed at what God will do through you. So a lot of times, the miracles you are looking for and you're seeking is not meant for in-house. It's meant for what? Outside. On the field, that's the easiest place to get the power of God working with. Because there's no time that use the name of Jesus that God will say that we're in Kuala Lumpur. Don't say anything today. We cannot heal anybody today. But we are busy using all the power in Kuala Lumpur. Tell everybody who will see that you should come back tomorrow. I will have returned from the trip. There is no time that will ever happen. Anywhere you are, He is. Anywhere the name is mentioned, His power is present. Anywhere. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I what? Make thine enemies thy footstool. What is that? Resurrection. Now, the Lord said to my Lord, which Lord said to which Lord? The Lord, that's Yahweh, said to Adonai. That automatically tells you that God will become a man. Because the one who spoke is higher than the one he spoke to. So in being higher simply means one will step down or become a man or take on a lower form. The Lord said to my Lord, Yahweh speak to Adonai, sit down. The word sit down actually is the word, that's the phrase that describes how you'll be raised from the dead. So it will first be, so to speak, go down. That's where Philippians 2 now comes in. Let this man be in you. Though he was God, he didn't think holding on to that stature was something to be grasped at. But he humbled himself. He became a man. And being found in fashion as a man, he became obedient. Even unto death, the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has what? Highly exalted him. That's the word sit down. Sit down. Wherefore God also. So is used for somebody who has abased himself, who God now has to what? Elevate or exalt. Sit down at my right hand. Because in the first place, for him to sit, which implies a throne, it shows you that God will have become a man. Because thrones are for men. God doesn't need a throne. Hallelujah. God doesn't need a throne. Amen. And that's why I still like when people say that there's a planet called heaven, which is true. That's where God lives. He lives in my heart. He lives in me now. Because there was heaven, where was God living? He didn't have a house. He had accommodation issues. You are right. Because he was waiting for heaven to be in the earth so that he can live inside of me. Now he lives in me. That living in me, that's the name of Jesus. It made it possible for me to house the Father. Now the Father lives in me. Guess what? He will be in me forevermore. So how can you think that you will make heaven? What else makes heaven what it is when the Father lives in you? Father is living in you as he's saying, may we make heaven. May we make heaven. Let me tell you something that's interesting. See, the Father lives in me. And he's not planning to come out. Okay, now. I know what you're still thinking. When we get to the white throne. What are you doing for the white throne? When you get to the gate, if they open the gate in the first place, why do you need to pass through gate? You, a householder, a member of the family. What are you doing at the gate? There's a gateman to your house. It's your house. Who put the gateman there if it's not you? Hallelujah. He said, at the gate, I saw them at the gate. They didn't allow some people to go in. Which people? No, the only ones that weren't going there, that they will need to have a gate to go in, that the one just said that, depart from me, I never knew you. Galatians 4, but now that you are known of God, hallelujah. Say, I'm known of God. Paul said, now that you know God, or rather you are known of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son inside the world, but we cry what? Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a son of God. I bear the name of Jesus. I'm the physical representation of that name. Wherever I am, the authority of that name is. The only way you can break the authority is to take heaven from this earth. But heaven is in this earth to stay. Glory to God. Heaven. The Lord said to my Lord, sit down. That is the resurrection. At my right hand. Until. And then the word until there is not our English until. You know, until means that wait until. No, the word until means in order that your enemies may submit. So in the resurrection, as long as he stays raised, the enemies stay what? Submitted. Because that means the victory will never change. Hallelujah. Guess what? And you are seated with him. In the heavens. Far what? Above. Hallelujah. All right, one more scripture before we start praying. Hebrews chapter 1. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews 1:1. Quickly. God was sundry times in every manner speaking, time passed unto the fathers by the prophets, as in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things, by whom also he framed the ages. He framed the ages. Who bring the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and what? Upholding all things by the word of his power, or fulfilling all things concerning the utterances of God. He has come to fulfill all things concerning all the what? Utterances of God. Notice, when he had by himself purged our sins. Did what? So if you put this sit down into Psalm 110 verse 1, you now see, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down. The Lord said to my Lord, in dying, purge their sins. Are you seeing now? In dying, purge their sins. In resurrection, show the receipt of the purging. Hallelujah. Should I say? Let me say it that way. Hallelujah. Notice, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down. The sitting is the purging. The sitting is the resurrection. The sitting is Father's right hand. They are the same thing. And just figures of speech describe the same event. So we know the sitting is not a physical chair, it's a spiritual activity. That is, to sit means he abides in a position where if he's raised, because two words are used for resurrection. The first one, somebody who is quickened to make alive. The other one is to cause to stand up and to remain standing, never to go down again. Two words are used. Maybe you study words have to go on. So one means to quicken to make alive. The other means to cause to stand up and never have to go down again. Now it says, after he by himself purged our sins, or the power that was used in raising him is the power that was used to what? Purge our sins. He sat down, or that purging of sin is a permanent state, and it is forever. Hallelujah. Say, I'm forgiven forever. There is therefore now no condemnation to me who am Christ Jesus. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ has made me free. From where? The law of sin and death. Is he seated? Are you seated? Are your sins purged? Are you in authority? Are you at Father's right hand? That's the name of Jesus. Glory to God. That's the name of Jesus. That's the name of Jesus. So can you see it's more than just J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. I sing it now. Can you see it's more than that now? It's more than that. It's more than the pronunciation. The mispronunciation, we'll not miss it because Jesus is English. The way it was written in Hebrew is different. In Jesus and Joshua, they are the same. That's 6 letters. Jesus is 5 letters. 5 represent grace. Okay. In Hebrew, it's Joshua or Jehoshua. I think that's more than up to 6 letters. And then Aramaic is Jesus. So if it's in the pronunciation, we have all missed it. That means if Jesus is your young position, Jesus will not work. When the new look of Jesus. It is not what he said. It's what's behind what he said that makes it work. So when I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you are saying, Father, I come as a son. The Father doesn't need you to mention it. You need to mention it to acknowledge it. It's not as when you are coming for Father. Bring your ID card. Bring your ID card. Where's your ID card? In the name of Jesus. Father said, okay, you can come in. No, you're already in. You're a member of the family. Hallelujah. He has made you a mansion. You're part of the family now. That's the name of Jesus. Whatever you ask in my name. Are you ready to ask tonight? Are you ready to ask tonight? Whatever you ask in my name. What is his name? Whatever you ask consistent with what I've accomplished. So if I ask for the souls of men, I'm asking his name. If I'm asking for men to be free from authority of darkness, I'm asking his name. If I'm asking that men's sins be purged, I'm asking his name. If I'm asking for men to experience God's mercy, I'm asking in his name. Whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask in my name. That's what it means. It means that you are asking within the scope of all that what accomplished, which is one of the reasons why it's difficult to use the name of Jesus to kill somebody. Maybe it can happen. Someone this is why, because that really is not within the scope of what he did. I have come that they might have life and do what? Have it more. It is I have come that they may, I may steal the life that they already have and steal it completely. No, I've come that they may have life and have it what? More abundantly. Let's start to our feet tonight. I just